First item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. Any amendments to the agenda? I see someone coming up here.
I would like to add for new business 7B, Committee on Athletic Policy Elections.
Okay. Any objections? Before you leave, Jennifer, could you introduce yourself to everyone, and please, everyone who comes to the mic, this is our first meeting of this year. Introduce yourselves.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jennifer Fernandez, and I'm the deputy chair.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any other amendments? Okay, let's vote on the agenda. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And abstentions? Okay. The agenda is adopted. Item number two, the approval of Senate meetings, May 8th. Let's take that one first. Any discussion? Any amendments? Seeing none, up. This is May 15th? No, we're taking them separately. Any objections to the approval of the minutes of May 8th? Seeing none, they're approved. Let's go to the minutes of May 15th.
Stephen Grover, the senator from philosophy. The attendance record for May the 15th has the Senate student members down. The dates are 2015 to 2015. So they wouldn't yet be senators, according to that. So that must mean 2014 to 2015.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll accept that as an editorial correction. Any further amendments? Any objections now to the way it's written? Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Okay, then we have the minutes approved for May 15th. Our next item on the agenda, I'd like to introduce first our guest speaker, and then we'll have time for announcements and reports and memorials. I don't want to spend too much of your time introducing today's guest speaker. I would prefer that we spend our time hearing from him. I will say, however, that he is a scholar, teacher, and administrator. He was the Secretary of the Department of Family Services for the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, where he managed a budget of $2.2 billion and oversaw nearly 11,000 employees. He is a graduate of El Colegio de San Ignacio in San Juan, Puerto Rico, a graduate of Yale University in the area of Latin American studies, and he has a PhD in history from Columbia University. He has an extensive publication record in the field of women's, Puerto Rican, Caribbean, and Latino studies and migration. Since I am personally interested in New York City history, I have just requested through the CUNY Intralibrary Loan System a book that he co-edited, Boricuas in Gotham, Puerto Ricans in the Making of New York City. I can't wait to start on that one. His readings have appeared in many journals and newspapers, including the Journal of Urban History and the New York Times. I have the pleasure of introducing to you the 10th president of Queens College, Dr. Félix Matos Rodriguez.
I don't want to get too comfy with the microphone, so thank you, Professor Nudo, for that very kind introduction. If you are interested in the book, I can get you a personal copy and a discount, and I'll get the 5 cents royalty, which I'll put to the college fund of my two boys. So, but delighted to be here, and thank you for making time of your busy Senate meeting to allow me to welcome you and to say a few words. When Professor Sanudo and I met, he said that historically the president of the institution comes and provides like a state of the college type address to all of you. Being that I'm on my 11th day, I thought it'd be a little bit cocky and premature for me to come do that, and that actually the best thing for me to do is to invest some time listening from all of you what the state of the college is, and then be able to work together and move forward in making the changes that we want to make Queens College a better institution. So I'll be brief today. I want to thank so many of you. It's been such a warm welcome. I mentioned yesterday at PMB that I'm saving all the nice emails and the nice cards and the nice letters that I'm getting saying about how people are so happy that I'm president, and you know, hoping that I still get them 2, 3, 4, 5 years into the job, that continues. But I appreciate the warm welcome. Many of you have also written and say we look forward to have you come visit the department, visit my unit, come to the organization, a club that I'm part. I am going to be making the rounds. We'll be organizing some events that would combine faculty, staff, and students. I'll be also visiting with some of the student organizations. I've had some great introductions with Raj and some of the other members of the Student Government Association of some of the things that they do, and been very impressed with some of the events that they've helped to organize, and be happy to participate. For the faculty, I'm going to be meeting with the department chairs initially before I go visit the departments. I think it allowed me to get a quicker sense of some of the issues and a better introduction to the college. I'm also going to be meeting with some of the faculty who have their research grants, and to get a sense also of some of the research projects and that side of the scholarly agenda in the college. But I'm going to be around and hope that I get to meet many of you and find out more about the college, but really, really excited, happy, honored to be here, and I think that we're going to have a great year. Very, very happy that our enrollment numbers look good, and hope that that's a trend that continues. And again, thank you for the warm introduction. I had a very nice meeting with Professor Sanudo, and I look forward also to working with the Senate in your projects for the year and advancing that agenda. And I thought that maybe a better way than have you listen to me for a long time would be if time permits to maybe take some questions or comments or things from the faculty, staff, and students here, and happy to do so. If anybody has any questions. Thank you for breaking the ice.
Hi, I'm Roberta Brody, Bobby Brody, and I teach in the Graduate School of Library and Information Studies. About 16 months and two presidents ago, we put in place a new strategic plan. I'd be interested to know whether you are contemplating changes or alterations in this strategic plan, and if so, what might they be?
Two comments on that. First, my 11th day, the What I've heard, and I continue to listen, is that that was a plan that was inclusive in the way that it was created, which would be my first concern of any kind of strategic plan. I mean, if you're going to have, if you're going to be making decisions about, you know, where to invest and where to move forward, it should be part of a document in which the larger campus community really feels that they were included as part of the conversation. Again, I mean, and tell me if you have a different perspective.
No, I was definitely.
So, you know, so because that's very important to me. Those cannot just be documents that you post on a website, and so you feel that you comply with having a strategic plan. Those are sort of commitments that we make together as a community, and help us to advance forward. So working on that assumption, and I also think that, you know, from an outsider's perspective, they look like goals that are consistent with the mission of the college and with the talent base that we have here, both in terms of students and faculty and how we want to train the students. And you know, the other slight point, too, is that, you know, we have those Middle States folks coming in a couple of years. And they like the college to have consistency between the strategic plan and how the college is being organized and moving forward. So my sense is that it is, you know, is a long way to say yes to your answer. But the other element too that we need to remember is that strategic plans are also living documents, right? And that the decisions that the campus community made a year ago or two presidents ago or 18 months ago, you always need to be reassessing them in the face of new reality. So from my perspective, yes, and I look forward to advancing those goals. But I think it's also something that if new opportunities come up, we should be open to them too.
Thank you.
Is that a decent answer to your question?
Sure.
Thank you. Okay. I should quit when I'm ahead.
I'm Natalie Holtzman. I'm faculty in the biology department. I had a budgetary question. So it sounds like the enrollment numbers are good. You were positive about that. I was wondering what your sense is of the budget, how you might be thinking about both gaining more funds and then being conscientious and conservative in the spending of that.
Well, you know, that can be an entire Senate meeting, right, in terms of the budget. But, you know, a couple of things. Clearly the fact that the enrollment numbers look robust, first, you know, we budget for the entire year. So we need to look at the spring numbers too, right? So it's not just based on one semester. So we carry, you know, a little bit of baggage and tightness from the year before. So in that sense, you know, we're still in a tight situation, even though the enrollment numbers look good. The second scenario that we need to sort of be cognizant of is that, you know, we have potentially, and I think everybody here would be very delighted that in this semester, a collective bargaining agreement gets signed, right? So that's going to be good news, but good news that costs money. Right, so the college needs to be prudent in thinking about that reality moving forward. In terms of resources too, remember that we are just 1 year away from the last of the 5 years in the tuition increase, right? So a very preliminary answer is that it's very good news that we made the numbers, and hopefully that will continue to be the case, and that will solidify our financial situation. There's a couple of clouds out there which, you know, I think call for some, you know, caution and being deliberate moving ahead. Part of my role is also to be knocking in additional doors of the outside funding, going to the elected officials in trying to get either additional funding and or complementing in some of the other areas to make up for those things. There's also, I mean, I've been here 11 days, but it's a lovely, large, beautiful campus, but it needs, you know, attention. In the area of the sciences, we've been having some challenges with some of the labs and some of those things, and those are areas that require investments and being out there trying to get some of those dollars. So I think that we're in a much better place that we were a year ago. Has nothing to do with me. I'm just lucky that at least initially the timing is working out. But I think the prudent thing is to be conservative and to keep the spirit of transparency in informing faculty, staff, and students about what the numbers are, be participatory in the process of how we make decisions on the budget. I think that's the best way to navigate the tight times, because the good times, everybody's happy, right? Because people get money. So, okay. He's standing up, so that's a sign. Oh, that my time is up? No, it's a question. Okay. And by the way, thank you so much for the humid tropical weather to make me feel at home. That little detail just really goes to my heart. Thank you so much.
First of all, let me start out with an observation. I guess I'm learning a lot about the Senate myself. I didn't know this, but deans, administrators, deans, provost, even college presidents, as long as they're faculty, they can run for the Senate. So I didn't know that. So I'm not recruiting. We're just one short of a full complement for the full Senate, 60 people. But let me ask you, were you appointed to a particular department? And if so, are you thinking at some point, not necessarily this semester or next semester, of perhaps teaching a class?
The answer is yes. I was going to begin my comment and say, my name is Felix Matos Rodriguez. I'm in the history department, and I am on loan to do this other thing in the president's office. And so I am, I guess if you don't like me, the history department gets to live with me as a tenured member of the department, and I'm very happy. It's a very prestigious department, so I'm very proud to be among great, great scholars. And I didn't get to teach at Austin. It's something that I wanted to do. And but of course, being always someone that does things the most complex way, what I would like to do is to adjust either one, and I need to ask permission from the department to teach it, so I don't want to get into trouble at the beginning, but assuming that they allow me to teach a class in either Caribbean, Latin American, Latino history, the things that I used to teach at Hunter and at Northeastern, and but also challenge myself and teach maybe like a hybrid course for the first time. I've never done that, and I thought it'd be an interesting experience for me to get some of the training and experiment that, which would allow me to also grow as a teacher. So that's the plan, but not this semester. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, I'm Alexis, and I'm part of the Student Association. And I was just wondering, how do you plan on livening up the social atmosphere on campus?
With my personal good looks. The thank you for your question. A couple of thoughts, right? I've always been a believer that when you are fortunate enough to come into a position of leadership, that really a lot of the things that require change, the things that can be modified, the things that can be improved, are found in ideas that come from the individuals who have been part of the community for a long time, right? That you don't need to be looking elsewhere for some of the answers. So I'm sure there's a lot of ideas here and in other spaces about how we can do that. I will take a different spin into your question, like a friendly amendment, if you allow me. And you're talking about creating a sense of community, right? A sense in which people want to participate in different kinds of events, and that means different things from faculty, for staff, for students. But I think that you do that by in part wanting to be part of that community, creating the spaces for the conversations, the sharing, for all of that. I am in higher ed because I believe in that sense of community, and I love to participate in events and the moving into the summit. I wanted to be there when the students came in. I brought my family as a sign also that that you share who you are. My two boys, who are 11 and 13, of course, came, and I think they carried two boxes, and they detected the ping pong table and the pool table at the summit, and that was their end of their work as helping people to move, right? But, you know, I look forward to being part of that community. I think that to the extent that I can, you lead by example, by trying to be available, accessible, and participate. And little by little, we build community. So, but I look forward to any ideas that you might have. And that's a really important part of the campus experience. That's a really important part of how we all learn. Is that okay? Well, no, I'm not going unless he tells me to.
Stephen Grover, philosophy again. So this question of community, one of the things that I think is a sort of threat to community is anything that reduces the presence of both students and faculty on campus. And of course, this is one of the things that is being encouraged by the Chancellor in terms of online education. And the message that online education sends out, I think, is precisely that you can learn at home with a screen in front of you, and that it doesn't really require a community of students learning around you and faculty who are present on the campus. And I would like to know, you know, that we had at least some guarantee that the core educational activities of the college will continue to happen here in person, face to face, because otherwise there's no chance of building a community here at all.
Well, two things. I'm here. I didn't send a video of myself, so I clearly believe that there is an element of physicality which is important. I think that educated people can have different perspectives on your opinion on what online education does and doesn't. That, you know, this is not the time or the place to do that. But what I will say is that there's a number of definitions of community. Clearly, the fact that I made a reference to online teaching doesn't mean that I ascribe to the characterization that you provided. And for me, I think they're also, and I see it with my own children, in which they also belong to communities that are different than mine based on what technology does, right? The verdict might be out as to whether that's better or worse, and that's, I think, the subject of a conversation that can be, that can occur. But I think that we build all kinds of communities, and that clearly the ones in which we talk to each other physically, we're here and we do that, are ones that are valuable and important, and I believe in that. So in that, I think we share something. And in the online, I don't think it's something that is meant to replace things. I think it's just an added way in which, teaching can be provided. And I don't see it as something that sort of supplants anything else. It just adds a different kind of modality and opportunity for faculty and for students. So, but I think that's part of a very important conversation, and I thank you for bringing that up to my attention and to the forum here.
Hi. Okay, my name is Sarah. I'm the Sixth Senator. So I was wondering, do you have any goals, any plans for the Sixth students?
Let me bring my chart of all the different plans for all the programs.
No, just like, because they did cut off the budget. So I was wondering, like, are you planning on bringing it back? Like, anything?
You're going too deep into specifics that, you know, on day 11, I'm not ready to answer. So it would be, I think, easier if you give me some of your concerns and your thoughts, and I put that in my hard disk, and I have that as I move forward to look into it.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay. No, but no. She's good. I'm doomed. I think that's a perfect segue for me to take back my seat and go back to my coffee. And again, thank you so much for your warm welcome. I look forward to working with all of you, and my best wishes for a very successful year. Thank you.
Okay, let's continue with item 3, announcements, memorials, etc.
Hello. Hi, my name is Raj Maheshwari, the Student Association President. I just want to acknowledge and give a big thanks to all the student leaders and the Office of Student Life who contributed and helped out towards planning and executing the 9/11 memorial that we had this morning on the quad. And in honor of that, I ask for a moment of silence.
I ask everyone to please stand for a moment of silence. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Edward Smaldone, the director of the School of Music. I'm here as a guest, but since you're announcing such things, I thought I'd take the opportunity to announce that over the summer, Professor Emeritus Joseph Goodman, who served in the School of Music before it was the School of Music for many years, passed away at the age of 95. He taught theory classes and ear training classes and composition, all sorts of things in the school. He retired in the early 80s, and he was a good friend of the school. In fact, he donated his Steinway grand piano to the School of Music, so it's going to be in the music building with a nice little plaque on it very soon.
I'm going to ask again, everyone stand for a moment of silence. Thank you very much. Any other announcements?
I'm sorry, Alan Ludman, College Senator at Large, School of Earth and Environmental Sciences. I'm sorry to report the passing of Robert Finks, member of this college for approximately 50 years, graduate of this college who managed to attend commencement as a 50-year alumnus. He passed away this summer. Bob was a renowned paleontologist, the United States National Museum specialist in Middle Paleozoic corals, if that means anything to any of you. Longtime friend of students, famous for his field trips, and I actually took my historical geology course from him in 19, never mind when, at Brooklyn College. He'll be missed.
Again, I'm going to ask you to stand for a moment of silence. Thank you very much. No further announcements. Let's then move to item number 5, committee reports. First committee report.
Ken Lord, computer science and chair of the undergraduate curriculum committee. First, in the minutes in item number 1, there's some changes to the music major that are predicated on the fact that there's a course called Music 100. Music 100 somehow didn't make it into these minutes, so I'm going to for this meeting withdraw items A, B, and C because it's really not proper to make this motion to pass this without knowing what Music 100 is. And for the next meeting, we'll have the whole package together. But we'll leave in items D and E. There are two new music courses unrelated to this change.
Would it help if I spoke to the Music 100, or is this not the time to do that?
No, I don't think so. We needed to have it in print.
Oh. Okay.
It won't affect anything in getting into the bulletin for next year, since this is the first meeting of the
okay.
year.
Okay.
Timeline doesn't affect it. Yes. So with that, I move the minutes of May 8th, 2014, ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections?
Stephen Grover, philosophy. I'm sorry I'm always up here, but I do think that at least some discussion of C should take place on page 4, or at least a slight, just to make it, why should students receive a letter grade in all courses taken at Queen's College used to complete pathways requirements? I mean, it seems perfectly reasonable to me, but there's no justification here at all.
This part, this policy for taking courses past no credit applies to pathways courses for general education. The Undergraduate Curriculum Committee felt that consultation with some other people who brought this to our attention, that general education courses are important enough to warrant having a letter grade and not using the pass no credit. Not that you can't use the pass no credit option for a course, you just can't apply it to your pathways requirements for that course. That students should really be earning letter grades in important courses for the college major, which is general education.
Out of curiosity, how will CUNY First handle a grade like that?
CUNY First will handle that in the way that we're used to having CUNY First handle things. We don't think there's a problem. It's actually more of DegreeWorks, which is a more robust system to check on graduation audits, and DegreeWorks can check on letter grades for students. Thank you. I would like to point out that we have only 2 out of 5 student seats filled in the Undergraduate Curriculum Committee, so I'm talking to the students. We do need more student voice on that committee. One of our students is actually taking a semester abroad, so while technically her seat is filled, we only have now 1 student sitting on the committee that's active.
We're moving for a minor change in the name of the MA program in sociology to the Master's in Data Analytics and Applied Social Research. Just for information, last April, the Senate passed the whole array of courses and requirements, but the department neglected to put in the name change. So what we're doing is putting, I guess, the icing on the cake here. Move unanimous consent.
My name is Marion Fish, and I'm the chair of the nominating committee from ECP, School Psychology. The nominating committee has put forth these recommendations for individuals for election to the listed positions, and I guess we want unanimous approval for that, and then I have one other piece of business. I just had one other. We'd like to make a nomination from the floor that William Hadigan, Bill Hadigan, be on the nominating committee. His application was not for renewal, was not in on time, so we'd like to nominate him from the floor.
That's going to come up on item number 6.
Okay, sorry.
Very good.
I move that we accept Professor William Hadigan to be a member of the nominating committee for renewal for his term. Willis from Arts and Sciences. He's a professor. Do you need me to read a blurb about him?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Am I off?
I'd like to nominate Adil Elias for Math and Natural Sciences.
I'd like to nominate Xenia Coquinos for at-large.
I would like to nominate myself, Marina Nebro, History Department, History Major. What am I supposed to talk about? Oh, okay. I'm Marina. I'm a history major and art history major. I'm in Macaulay Honors College, and I'm pretty sure that I'm running for the right thing right now, but the history department asked me to be their student representative, so I'm here to represent the history department.
Hi. I'd like to apologize to this corner. I just want to try and face as much as the Senate as possible. Good afternoon. My name is Xenia Coquinos. I'm a current senator at large. Last year, I was a member of the executive committee of the Academic Senate. I was never unprepared, late, or missed a single meeting because I take my responsibility seriously. I'm currently a member of the Campus Affairs, Environment, and Graduation Advisory Committee. And I'm the president of the Eagles Hellenic Orthodox Club, which is one of the largest and oldest organizations on campus.
Prior to becoming a senator this past May, for the past 2 years, I have frequently come to the academic Senate meetings, even though I have not been a senator, because I understand that a lot of the major decisions that affect the Queens College community come from right here and from the committees that belong to the Senate. It is for this reason that I believe myself to be a good candidate for the nominating committee. I am hardworking, reliable, experienced, and truly care about the Queens College community. Thank you.
Everyone have one? Yeah? Good? Oh, I'll come get them. Thank you so much.
Not so fast.
Same result.
Okay, the exact same results.
What about the abstention?
Yes, Megan Healy, Drama Theater Dance and Chair of the General Education Advisory Committee. So we need to elect up to two faculty members at large for the CUNY Core Review Committee, which I'm sure chills everyone to their very bones. But those individuals would represent Queens College and be part of the body of CUNY professors who review pathways courses for approval into the program. There are three committees. The first one reviews English composition, creative expression, and individual in society. The second one is for math and quantitative reasoning, life and physical sciences, and the scientific world. And the third is world cultures and global issues and the US experience in its diversity. So are there any nominees to this committee or volunteers, so to speak? They should both be placed on the committee. Every college is entitled to offer up to two names for each of the core review committees. I'm sorry, can you ask from the mic because I can't hear you? I'm old. The committees review all of the pathways courses that are sent in by all of our CUNY universities that are part of the Pathways General Education Program, which is all of us. And they, once, for example, at our college, you submit your courses to the GIAC website if you want them included. Once we approve them, they go through the UCC, and now because of Pathways, instead of just coming to the Senate, they have to go through this core committee, which is composed of professors from all of the universities. They get approved, they come back to us, they get put in the catalog.
Betsy Hendry, Acting Provost. Just a clarification, it's my understanding that no, we will actually only have one member on each of those three committees, but they've asked us to submit two names for each because what they want to ensure is that there's disciplinary variety on each of them. So in other words, that way, if there's one historian and one philosopher, they
right.
may, and all the others are philosophers, they might pick the historian. So they will pick from those names, but they did ask us for multiple nominations.
Thank you for that clarification, Betsy. But it does mean that we won't choose between the two people if there are only two people. And that's to ensure, because just as we did in our program, some people have chosen to represent only one discipline in the Pathways Corps, but we've done a multidisciplinary approach as many other people have. Anybody who is a faculty member at Queens College is eligible to serve on this committee. You do not need to be an elected member of the Senate. That also includes instructors or lecturers if they would choose to do that, as well as tenure track faculty. Yes, and I'm sorry, students, I think this is obvious to you, but it is faculty members only, not students who are elected to these committees.
Nancy Fosberg, Library, I'd like to nominate myself for the first committee.
It's Fosberg with a B. And it's Antonova, but she's not here, so we just won't tell her. Her name is Antonova. Catherine is Antanova. But she's not in this room right now, so she'll never know.
It's okay.
Chris Ioannidis, I'm nominating Alice Sardell of Urban Studies to the World Cultures and U.S. Experience Subcommittee. Alice Sardell.
Thank you all so much, and thank you to the faculty who agreed to serve. It's really important to represent our interests, so thank you.
Students this goes